I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join hands, we'll make a wall, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here, would you believe?
I am.
Yeah.
I've turned up for this one.
Luke Moore's with him.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson is with all of us.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're clothed for a change. Fourth-tier Spanish side Deportivo Palencia have launched a new flesh-themed kit.
It's disgusting.
It is horrible.
And as a lot of people have said, they've sort of bottled it on the shorts, haven't they?
I guess
no,
so, yeah.
The shorts carry on.
Yeah, but the winky isn't there.
Oh, I see. What you, no, but
that's
no,
a
no,
muscle.
No, no.
Yeah, it's the muscle. The muscle is.
What are you laughing at, Jim?
Willy is a muscle.
It's just sweet, Marcus.
Yeah.
No, because it's unisex.
Okay.
No, we'll leave your horrific sexism at the door. I always ask for this every week. Think rock DJ, the Robbie Williams.
Yeah,
video.
That's what I was going to say.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kit designer, Juan Francisco Martin, who created a tuxedo-themed kit for another Spanish side. The slogan that the club have come up with for the kit is, we give you our skin, to suggest they'll give it their all on the pitch.
Is that a saying?
It's too much.
Or have they just sort of made up a weird saying?
Well, it could be some a Spanish saying, couldn't
it's
it?
It's too much, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's too much, that.
You'll need your skin. Let's why don't we go in Spain? They're very sunny. I mean,
let's skin up. Why didn't they go with that?
Skin off, though, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, let's skin off. Oh, dear.
Something about foreskin.
Yeah.
Well, if all that's of us wall. Had the kit on. Yeah, all four of us. Yeah.
Freeze Company, foreskin.
Ramble. If you could design a theme kit just like the one described, then what would you come up with, Jim?
Well, I was thinking, because we've got the Euros coming up, just a little tweak to the England kit, a little bit, you know, of a nod to our heritage in England, have a sort of Morris dancing themed kit. Actually, isn't really a million miles away from what we have now.
Dancing around the goalposts.
Well, you know, it's just, it's just a themed day. Kit.
Do the little sword dancers. Yeah. The cross swords.
Hit the sticks.
Yeah.
Hit the
sticks.
I was also thinking that Spurs could just wear 1995's kit next season.
Here we go.
Inspiration.
There's the first one.
But really, what I would like to see would be ultraviolet kits for night games, so that you don't actually to use the floodlights. And it just looked like loads of
Tron.
Weird... it looked like Tron.
As long as the ball was...
The ball would have to be UV
so
as well.
So many injuries.
And it'd be quite good at this stage of the season where a night game starts off with it being light and then it gradually gets darker and you wouldn't even have to put the floodlights on. Mm. So it'd save money, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you're solving a problem there that doesn't exist. I do like the idea of it.
I'd like to see how much energy your answer's going to conserve.
It's funny you say that. You wait.
Yeah, you're literally too late by a week for the Berlin Ground farewell. That could have been the crescendo of that. Absolutely. All those old players running around cracking each other's knees.
There was me thinking it couldn't have got any worse at the Berlin Ground. Put Pete Donaldson in charge of proceedings.
Yeah.
Goodness knows what will happen. Luke?
I've got... In the information age we now live in, the information revolution, they call it, I believe. I think what would be quite nice is if we had info-rich kits. So, one of the... I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but it's not necessarily a bone of contention or an annoyance, but it would be quite helpful to know, for example, which player's already on a yellow.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So, if they're on a yellow, they get a yellow patch on their shoulder or something.
Yeah, right.
Or the kit goes slightly yellow.
Like an e-ink display.
Yeah.
That modern Amazon Kindle might have.
Or like on FIFA.
Yeah, all that. And you know on the fantasy football where they've got little colour-coded things for whether how injured they are, how fit they are.
Yeah,
it's
how
red
much energy
if they're injured. Yeah. It's orange if they're striked out. If they pick up an injury, maybe you can get some sort of analytical sort of medical technology to see how injured they are.
Yeah.
And then the people will understand why managers are making decisions and stuff. Substitutions.
Does that not give an advantage to people like Mitrovic? He'll see, like, he's got a weak spot and just know where to
take it out. Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Torre just be one big kind of red and bleeding sore. I'm dying.
And to finish off...
That's why I'm hobbling around.
The referee has one of those global hypercar-type T-shirts, but it's based on what mood he's in. If it's, like, green, he's in a really passive mood, so you know you get around a bit of a heavy challenge. If he's red, he's fuming. Don't tackle.
Mike Deans would just be flaming.
He would
be terrifying.
Mike Deans would be like a full-on Brazilian carnival.
Yeah. Eyes on me.
Yeah.
Or what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence's character in Hunger Games with the flames at the back.
That's what he'd be like. Dean would be wearing that all day.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike Deans got the air of a man who, when he counts the players at the beginning of the kickoff, he's almost going, oh, you turned up as well. I mean, everyone's come to see me.
I know what you mean by that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Another way you could use it as well, with the sort of proliferation of data in the game now, is you could have people's live stats on them, sort of pass completion on their socks, that sort of thing. So if you're a teammate looking to pick out a pass, you can see who's in the better form.
Like that. The only problem I can see with it, there is only one problem with this, I've thought about it, is a different colour changes would be kit clashes. So you'd have to make sure each team had different colours for different things.
Yeah. That's easily worked.
Basics.
Well, the carbon footprint is lower than mine, though.
But if you went into the final game that we just had there, like someone like Giroud would have terrible form, but he'll do something amazing.
That's the beauty of it, Pete.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And that's the beauty of it. And the other side to it is that you could essentially patent the technology so that you could then make a lot of money out of it as well. Because I did actually go to, I think it was google.com/patent. And you can search patents worldwide. And I checked them for football kits, and there's currently not one for that.
Right.
Ooh. So it's available. It's available.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got the green light.
Yeah.
Slightly bigger carbon footprint using Google as well.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. I didn't know this was an environmental theme question, I'll be honest. It's the first
time
I've
heard of it. Swung that way, but don't worry. Yeah. Let's swing it back, Peter.
Well, Mike, it's a little bit similar to Luke's, I must admit. It's a scratch and sniff shirt where you don't know what smell you've got until the end of the game.
What's the point of that?
Because the manager can assign the smells without you knowing. So if the manager doesn't like you and he doesn't think you're doing very well at the end of the match, oh, smells of dog poo.
Again, what's the point of that?
Some people have strawberries, some people have dog poo.
That's cleared it up, thank you. Yes,
exactly.
What, so just so depending on the manager liking them.
It's like the Brendan Rodgers envelope,
can
right?
I just say, this is in no way, as you said, similar to my very well thought that idea.
Can we, by the way...
I didn't Google patents.
I know that.
The Brendan Rodgers envelope isn't a euphemism, that was obviously...
it's not a sex move.
But I've shut in an envelope.
If you do check Google patent euphemisms, it is available.
Sure. I'd love it if Brendan Rodgers did the envelope thing and they weren't allowed to look in the envelope. They had to scratch and go, oh yeah, that smells of me actually.
Yeah.
So the scratch and sniff thing, presumably if players are sort of, you know, involved in some hustle and some bustle during the game, it's going to get scratched and they're going to start smelling. So won't they know before the end?
Well, I haven't thought that far through in the same way that
you
the technology...
surprise me!
Luke, your technology doesn't even exist. You shouldn't even be looking at patents.
By the time this show's released, I would have patented it.
You can't patent something that doesn't exist.
I
have actually got a patent. I think I mentioned that on the show before, and it was a cup for salsa dips that you put on a kid's head. And I spent £50 on patenting it. Not even kidding. Not even kidding. I'll show you the patent later. I've still got it.
Well, you couldn't give it away, could you?
Well, you're not like newborn. You know, like when you have a kid and like your whole life changes and you just want to spend your time watching telly before falling asleep.
What, you think the biggest change to your life is when you have a kid is going to be that you can't readily access enough salsa dip?
Literally, a strappy...
is that like a modern day?
Sticks, you know, on my head.
Marcus, we're going to details.
I hate to be rude, you two. Yeah. Just let him talk. Let him talk.
I genuinely. Well, I thought
we believe you.
I patented it because it would be a good joke present for a new parent. You'd be like, oh, look, I bought you this, and you're going, you're a horrible friend.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be buying like the same old boot tees and
you are
little
drunk.
Gloves so that the babies don't scratch their faces.
You were drunk with celebrity, sir. This is a bit like a much more innocent version of that Freddie Mercury. Certain people having trays on their heads at a certain parties.
You are drunk on salsa, young man.
Can you get alcoholic salsa? I say that to you.
Oh, I don't know. You get powdered alcohol, can't you? So
yeah, you can.
Just pop it in there.
Yeah. There you go, see.
Yep.
Something for some of the family. Mm. I had an idea to create kits that have a magic eye effect. So if the game's a bit boring, you could just sort of stare at the players and work out who's got what.
And
then
you could
have
the magic eye could be, the design within the magic eye could be a good game of football.
Yeah, you could have that.
Be a bit meta about it.
But
are you watching that game? No, I'm watching this one.
You should watch it too. Yeah. I can't see. I'll see now.
Yeah.
It'd be really distracting though. If you're a defender and you're marking a striker, you've just got that striker missing loads of chances displayed on your body.
Yeah.
It'd be good. It's fair enough.
It'd be like what it would like be like to be Fabrizio Colaccini.
Well, but I settled on a police uniform outfit. Which is achievable.
Yeah.
Perhaps the only one that's achievable of the answers that we've heard so far, ladies and gentlemen. And that would be, so a referee just might think twice before bringing out a card. So if he's getting all officious, he thinks, oh, hang on, this, and he sees the police uniform.
Policeman's helmet as well?
Well, again, not a euphemism.
How do you know I said it? It might have been.
I'm just covering all of our backs.
Okay.
I think Jim's got the points, actually.
I was going to say, you can't give it to Pete because the salsa cup for a child's head is not his answer.
No,
that was
right.
The side.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I've just got the email up with my... You want to read the pertinent...
Oh, yeah. Okay, just in case any of you listening and don't know Pete that well, maybe you're a new listener.
Yeah.
You thought maybe he's just...
How are you doing?
He's just, why are you here?
Yeah, he's just...
Climb aboard.
He's just spinning you an elaborate yarn.
Where are you going?
Thank you for using the online patent application service. A copy of the forms and your filing receipt is attached. Very good, Pete. For anyone who wants to know, it looks to me like it's patent number... it's not. You've not actually been given the patent. You just applied for it.
No, that's my application. That's the only email I could find. But the patent application for your reference infant headgear chip ball was successfully received on the 1st of September 2014, and it's being processed. So.
Yeah, WebF at IPO, which I guess stands for the International Property Property Office, .gov.uk.
Mm.
If you wonder where your tax money's going.
So there we go.
There we are. Right.
We'll have them on the Ramble website by Monday morning.
we must move on to the Premier League. There's always one ridiculous result on the last day, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is. Newcastle United, 5,
Spurs won.
I think it's summed up the season quite well.
I think
the topsy-turvy, silly-billy season we've had.
The commentator said Newcastle are the only team to do the double over Spurs this season.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and they're also the only team not to beat Aston Villa.
Yeah.
So that's so that good. Shows you.
Incredible.
Yeah. What a season.
That shows you.
Pochettino said it was his worst day as a manager.
Mitrovic had a lovely day. he was brilliant.
Lovely day out.
That challenge on Kyle Walker was possibly the worst challenge of the season.
No, don't be silly. There's been very similar ones, I think. It's in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
That's like when...
It's in the top 10 goal of the challenge of the season.
When Tiger Woods was asked if he was the greatest golfer ever, he said, all you can ask is just to be in the conversation. There's a lot of great golfers
out there. And Mitro's put him in.
Was that the worst Mitrovic tackle ever? Or was it the worst challenge of the season? It's in the conversation. Yeah.
Mm. He's done worse.
I mean, this season.
The stare he gave the referee was more violent.
It was so much... I mean, that gives the referee... A license, let's say. And if that was in any way, it could have gone one way or the other, he would have been off anyway for that. But it was definitely very much a red card.
It was less a stare, more a Mortal Kombat finishing move.
Oh, dearie me. Harry Kane got the golden boot, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Despite not scoring in that particular game.
It was a bit of a damp squib for final days in terms of the golden boot, wasn't it? Because Aguero didn't hit back on that either. He should have scored. And of course, Kane didn't either.
Yeah, or Vardy either.
No, indeed.
It was really quite something, though, wasn't it? It's almost like people are sort of wondering how Newcastle pulled out that performance, and I think it might just be the force of nature is Spurs Spursiness. I was just sort of possessed by it.
Jim, is it fair to say you've been pretty quiet up till now?
No, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I really thought this was going to be the season where they overhauled it, but I just can't believe it.
I mean, as sure as night follows day.
They needed 4 points from 4 games, and they couldn't do it.
I cannot believe Arsenal finished above them.
Neither can I. But the fact that Arsenal finished second tells you so much about the league from number one down.
The best season since, on paper, since 2005.
Which is insane. Yeah, Tottenham's best Premier League season ever.
Yeah.
It's not Spurs' best Premier League season in terms of points achieved. No, because they got 72 points on the first Spurs in 12-13.
Yeah.
And they came fifth that year. So that shows you the even spread of the points this season.
Does that not make you worry as a Spurs fan for next season?
Actually, by the way, I'm not a Spurs fan.
The league has to return to type. You're a Harry Redknapp fan, which is kind of the same.
The thing is, though, Spurs have got... Everyone said this all season, or certainly towards the latter part of the season, and just because they had a terrible run-in towards the end of it doesn't change it. They're in a good position now. They should be in the conversation, like Mitrovic's tackles and Tiger Woods, as you would think. But the one thing that Pochettino has to address, and I think this is probably what's going to have frustrated him the most, is that collapse. It shows a mental fragility that until that point we'd seen absolutely nothing
against
of.
So 10 men.
But it's against 10 relegated men.
You've got to take these things in isolation, right? So the Newcastle performance was remarkable. I mean, I would be so annoyed if I
was
Newcastle.
It was remarkable. Yeah, and I think that's a wider problem. But also, I would say that the old shop window for old Tessa's it's we're seconds away from the Newcastle fire sale. So there's a lot of players wanting to play for A, the Euros, and B.
I was going to save this for the highlights of the week.
Getting shipped out.
I'll say it now because you touched on it. Ben Woolgar got in touch saying, "My highlight of the week was imagining Pete's reaction as the Newcastle players bulldoze Spurs to get themselves summer moves."
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it? It's exactly what you've been saying. Yeah.
To be honest, though, you'd probably want them out.
For those Sissoko.
But also, that was a shocking foul on Sissoko, wasn't it, for the penalty?
Absolutely
outrageous. Sissoko's in the France squad as well this summer.
Yeah.
But he's a good player.
Dived into the picture.
Apparently. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of fans making it clear they wanted Benitez to stay. And I would like to think that some of those players, at least some of them, were trying to do that as well.
No, I think that might be horrifically naive of me. If he stays and he does it nice and early, in the next couple of weeks, that might change the minds of some of the players. Which, to be honest, who cares if they're sod off? My only worry is that
we've got players.
I know, but my only worry is that all the players that we had on loan out in like League One clubs, like Adam Armstrong and stuff, he's the only one who's going to come in with any kind of performance back because a lot of them have gone out on loan and they've not performed at all. So we've got no real backup to what we've got.
Paul Dummett gave a bit of a call to arms, didn't he? Before the final game. We've got to do it. We've got to save our pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, bothered. Oh, I'll worry about next season later. Yeah. But on the Arsenal-Spurs thing, my thoughts on it are that, local bragging rights aside, which are important because local rivalry is important in football. I don't think you can be sort of... I guess you can be sort of aloof about it and elitist and go, oh, it doesn't really matter, it's local, it doesn't matter. If you want to be a big club, you want to be a big club. And I do understand that. But for a lot of people, local rivalry is important. So that we'll take that as read. It's bragging rights for Arsenal and all that other stuff, the same way as a derby day and you get bragging rights throughout the week and all those other cliches. But I actually think that Arsenal finishing above Spurs in the final day like that is bad news for Arsenal. Because I think that, I said this to you earlier, Jim, Arsenal fans have a tendency to hang their hat on certain things. And as the season moves on and they realise they're not going to win the title again, they're not going to win the Champions League, they're not going to pick up trophies, they start saying things like, in my experience as an outsider, they start saying things like, oh, we've finished in the Champions League 16 years in a row. Oh, we've always finished above Spurs. And so they've actually got something to hang their hat on there now. Whereas I think if they'd actually seen it through and had a proper... not a disaster of a season, but a much more difficult season in the long term.
Well, a more respectable season.
If they had a worse one...
Oh, right, OK.
Yeah,
sorry,
if they had a worse one, it might force them to actually act. And I don't think there's going to be furore around Wenger and stuff like that as there would have been otherwise.
No, but I think the club are already making noises about, you know, how they recognise exactly this. Whether that's acted on in the long term will be interesting, because obviously they're saying what the fans want to hear.
So they're making the right noises, do you think?
Well, yeah, I think so, but I think there's an aspect of looking for a problem where there is none then. Everyone at the club knows that. I think it's actually better for both Tottenham and Arsenal to be closer in terms of competition, because it spurs them both on.
But I think Spurs have got a plan, and I think Spurs know where they're going. I think Spurs have got a fairly shallow squad, but they're a young squad, and they'll be better for that experience they went through at Stamford Bridge and the end of the season, where there's been a natural drop off in intensity, I suppose. They'll be better for that. I'd be much more positive as a Spurs fan as I would be as an Arsenal fan at the moment.
Could Wenger stay and them just bring in a different coaching staff just to complement what they've got?
He's done that before, hasn't he? Bolt's not always been there. Pat Ryan's been there before.
It's not been like a sort of entire...
He's talking about the finish second. just to up the intensity a little bit and maybe just bring in some kind of a different psychological team or something.
They tried that with Steve Bold, didn't they, when he came in? I know he's been there a few years now.
They've changed lots of things over the course of the years. But I think this could realistically be Wenger's last season coming up. Who knows? It could well be that he signs an extension. There was a fake story going around about it a little while ago. But what I would like to see happen would be if he actually splurged some money on a last season and just to have a proper crack at it. I have absolutely no faith that we can win the league next season at all.
Get an RVP
but
back.
There you go. Yeah, get Robin van Persie back. But what's interesting about this season, everyone's been saying, oh, how has this happened? And now the dust has all settled, I guess. What's happened is obviously Leicester have had a phenomenal season, but they won the league on 81 points when the average is something, it's around 87. If you take Chelsea out of the picture, because they've had a really sort of surprisingly turbulent season that no one would have seen coming, by their own standards, Man City have had a similar season because of the Guardiola announcement, which really, really derailed them. Man United are in a bit of a strange situation as well. And, you know, it just, all these mad things have happened at once to combine for this absolutely brilliantly entertaining season.
You are right about that. And those points are absolutely valid. But Leicester only lost three games all season.
Oh, I'm not taking anything away from
Leicester
at all. No, I know.
But I just wanted to add to that, to give it an ounce of balance. Not that necessarily needs it, because I do agree with those points. But when Manchester United wrapped the league up in March or something like that, everyone, Manchester United were excellent. They didn't go, well, the rest of them were rubbish.
No.
I'm not knocking Leicester.
No, I know
you're not. I know you're not.
That did happen, I think. The most recent time United won the league, that did happen.
You're okay, right?
People, because when Ferguson left, I think it was when Ferguson left, and people said, "Oh, United weren't really that good. There was just no opposition." But generally, you're right; it doesn't happen so much.
I think though, if you take Chelsea out of the equation, if you take one of the big contenders out of the equation, which is effectively what happened with their season, then I guess it makes sense, doesn't it? But then Spurs became a contender.
Would be fewer.
Yeah, most leagues invariably have two front runners pretty much all the way through the season,
as a friend of mine said. In Spurs were in a two-horse race and yet managed to finish third.
Yeah, it's incredible that they've managed to qualify for the Champions League and look really silly. Only Spurs could do that.
But my
that last sentence was not necessary. You didn't need to put that in.
Hang on. But to be fair, Jim is very, very balanced and very, very fair. But he's allowed a little one.
Part of me thinks I'm trying to make reasonable points about Spurs, but part of me thinks this isn't the time. We'll do it next week.
No,
Arsenal fans can enjoy this one, and then we'll do it next week. But I see Spurs season this season as the first season of a. I don't want to sound like
cliche,
as the first season of a journey of a project.
Be a fool to think that that's them done and they're going to go back to sort of middling around.
Because if someone says to me now, because I actually think Man City have got a bit of a big rebuilding job to do in the summer.
They do, yeah.
If someone says to me which teams are in the best shape for next season, it's Spurs and Liverpool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they develop and how they improve.
Did you see Arsenal, the way they put those little slugs, those little villains to the sword, eh?
4-0, Jim. What about that?
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Tottenham then. Genuinely.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Villa, isn't it? Just that's
on the BBC website, on the table, they have the last 10 games form thing, and the red dot means a defeat.
It does.
A grey dot means a draw, and a green dot means a win.
And what colour for a Giroud hat-trick?
Villa's is red, grey.
Grey, which is what you get if you mix black and white together.
Yeah.
It's true enough. Right,
I don't need to add to that, do I?
We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Nice little finish to the season for Leicester.
They've won the league by 10 points.
Yeah. Comfortably romped it.
And I don't think enough has been made of that.
No.
10 points. I know that the teams were, Spurs and then to a lesser extent Arsenal, were in the race to an extent a while back. Leicester have won it by 10 points. That is a massive achievement.
Yeah, they got 4 points in their last two games when they didn't need a single point, which again shows the level of professionalism there.
Arsenal were the only team to beat them twice as well.
Go on. Yeah. Go on, we'll help you out. That's right. Do a little favour. Yeah. Go win your muggy little league.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to have another one.
Spink Wenger's going to bring that up at the board meeting.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte has been acquitted of fraud charges ahead of his move to Chelsea.
Andy. Clean slate.
Yeah, that's good news, isn't it?
I forgot about that altogether. Chelsea won 5 home games all season.
That's remarkable. That's
crazy,
I think Leicester won either 10 or 11 away games this season.
Yeah, they were great on the road.
Which I don't know if that's a... that 10-point gap has got to be the biggest for a while. It's certainly bigger than last season and the season before. And I don't know of a team who's won 11 away games in the Premier League season for a while.
Leicester have absolutely romped it.
They have. Yeah, they really have. Brilliant. They really have.
But you're right, though, because the way everybody was watching Leicester... And obviously there wasn't a 10-point gap for, you know, until the last sort of game or two or whatever it was. The way they were going, everyone said, oh, are they going to mess it up now? There's this test, there's that test. And rightly so, because we'd never seen this team do this. And then actually, in hindsight, you go, flipping heck. What a lovely old job that was. And in the history books, when people look back, they'll see this enormous anomaly. 10 points!
But if you look at... It's funny how things work out, because if you look at... Just to give an example, to give it a bit of context, what I'm about to say. If you look at the league table in 2 years' time and see that Arsenal finished 1 point above Spurs, that won't tell you the story of what happened with their season.
No, right? No.
Arsenal were out of the title race before Spurs were, for example. In the Leicester thing, I think the media purposely drove a narrative and a story about the league being closer than it was because it was Leicester.
Yeah, of course.
And actually, if that was another team, maybe a more traditionally big team, you might say in inverted commas, that probably wouldn't have happened. But they've got a responsibility to sell the product, haven't they? And that's why.
I don't know if that was necessarily a cynical thing, though. I think it was more the nature of disbelief.
It probably wasn't. Yeah,
it's unprecedented, isn't it? So it's people just thinking, surely this isn't going to go the way it looks like it's going to go.
Yeah, that's right. Lovely goal from Drinkwater as well. Nice way to end the season.
Great for him to get one. Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, I know we'll come on to the England squad in a minute, but I'm worried he's not going to stick around.
Manchester City. They got their point that they needed to qualify.
They were terrible. They were terrible.
Iheanacho's goal was a funny one, wasn't it? Mike Dean took his time. It was like he was going, it's a goal, but it's a goal because I say it's a goal.
Yeah, what's your point? That's fine, isn't it? It's Mike Dean. Everyone's come to watch it. Mike Dean, I'll tell you something.
It's Deanie's day.
I think people think I'm taking the piss here.
No.
Mike Dean is a box office draw.
He is.
His initials are MD.
I love watching
this,
Mike Dean.
This sounds as genuine as me given the big one about Fletch and South last week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did mean it, though.
You did mean it, though.
Well, that song at the end wasn't sanctioned, so you live and die by that yourself, mate. You leave us out of it.
We'll do that later.
Yeah.
I know, you said this at the live show, but that story, I don't think you've said it on the podcast.
But that's not Mike Dean, though.
Oh,
that was Mike Riley, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Another Mike.
Oh, come here, red. I have said that on the show before.
The Mike TVs.
That was Mike Riley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, different kettle of fish altogether.
Okay, and, oh no, that was Mike and the Mechanics. But Manchester United and Bournemouth didn't go ahead.
No, it didn't.
Everyone was quite and understandably seriously worried about that, and then it turned out to be a bit silly.
Well, it is it's still a pretty
well, okay, yeah,
a pretty important security situation.
Sure. And in the current climate, and with the Euros coming up, and all that kind of stuff. But I think having seen the,
I mean, if you find a bomb in a toilet, yeah, you're going to cancel a match, Mark.
Yeah,
it's not as if you got
anywhere, Peter.
In this
Richard Keys way, didn't he?
Why don't they just?
Why don't they just not play the final game? I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, what is the point?
Yeah, how long have you got?
We've got.
You're going to presumably make some money off that, Richard, which you'd love. Yeah. So
Yeah, does he get paid twice if he turns up twice? Presumably he would do, wouldn't he?
He's basically saying, why can't we not play the game because I can not go into work?
Yeah, because I've got an holiday booked.
Yeah.
Somewhere colder.
Colder, yeah.
See if they'll have me back.
Yeah, you mug.
Pellegrini, he wants a meeting.
Yeah, Pellegrini took his blazer off and gave it to a supporter. Yeah, quite like, he's obviously a Manchester City a blazer.
It's a good job we didn't do it the week before, because he's been a fine anyone.
That's right.
Actually, to be fair, we did have some City fans tweeting saying that they were at the game, and actually it was really, really poorly sort of managed that, so lots of people didn't know there was a...
I then got a couple of tweets after that saying that's rubbish.
Right.
From other City fans saying, don't make excuses, it was a disgrace.
But also as well, the last game of the season at home, there's always a little bit of a parade, isn't there?
Absolutely.
That was, Pellegrini went to Wings. The restaurant in Manchester.
Louis Van Gaal's
On the same night as Louis Van Gaal was there. And Louis Van Gaal was wearing a rather striking blazer in the lining.
Was it the white Pellegrini
that he took from a manager?
No, in the lining it had it had pictures of Manchester United footballers. In the lining of the court.
Like,
no, I've just been checking out the Getty images.
That's fantastic.
The paparazzi shots.
Any particular player? Not the current squad, surely.
No, I could only see... I think I saw a number 7, which could have been Giggsy, I don't know.
Well,
could have been anyone.
Photographs or caricatures or...
Photographs.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I don't think Giggsy was ever seen.
Polaroids.
It was a collage. What's it between a collage or a montage?
A montage is like a moving image type thing.
Yeah. No, a collage is full pictures, and I think a montage is...
Are you okay, mate?
Yeah.
Is this one for now?
Yeah. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
A chip ball.
But good to know that Pellegrini was in Wings. So whether he deserved it or not, I don't know.
I'd like to go to Wings.
Ki Sung-yung wasn't there because he's on national service.
Was that right?
He has to do 4 weeks of it, I think, or face exile from South Korea, as is the law. I mean, that's not just for him.
Wouldn't be that bad.
Most people do 2 years.
The latest Swansea-related news is that Leicester are apparently in the market for Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Which interesting doesn't fit at all with my
opinion. It seems a strange one.
They've got by someone.
But Man City were pushing a lot in that game in the second half to get that winner, but Swansea weren't really at it. And City were quite unimpressive and quite unimaginative, actually.
They got over the line.
I worry for Swansea next season because they're looking at signing Leroy Fur on a permanent deal.
Dear.
And he tends to relegate clubs. He doesn't do it all on his own, but it seems to happen.
Can't keep up with him.
No,
you can't.
He did do a weirdly sort of hypnotic dance for the free kick routine, and Fernando headed the resulting free kick kind of into his own net, so I wonder if it actually worked.
He looked at the wrong person.
Yeah. The race for the Europa League spots went Southampton's way, although West Ham, they still can qualify for the Europa League if Manchester United win.
That's a frustrating one.
The FA Cup. Yeah, I mean, they missed some chances, didn't they? But Southampton ended the season superbly, and they'll finish fifth if Man United lose to Bournemouth, which is unlikely, so they'll probably be sixth. But
that's their record points title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Koeman's win percentage is brilliant.
It's a shame for West Ham that they didn't finish in the automatic spots after the season they've had, but they still could get
them. I think West Ham, and it sounds to me like they'll probably get one. They need a quality striker, don't they? Yeah. That's what they're after.
They've got a lot of nearly very good strikers, and it must be frustrating.
But the great thing,
Sacco had a really brilliant chance to put them 2-0 up, and you've got to be burying that in that situation.
Well, Sacco is inconsistent. Emenike's not going to stay, is he? And Carroll can't stay fit, so he doesn't score that many anyway.
Mm. But they've attracted some big players anyway with the stadium move. If they can get European football as well,
attractive
proposition.
On the goal scoring thing as well, Manchester City have struggled in one way because I think the next top goal scorer after Aguero got 24 was with 8 goals.
Well,
I mean, when you think of a side or a squad of that much quality and of that much money behind it, that's not a great return at all.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at the squad, David Silva's not been among the goals like he has been. Okay, there's
I think it might even be Iheanacho as well.
That was quite a nice stat. A drag back, if you will.
Well, you still can.
20, yeah, exactly. 25% of Newcastle's goals were scored in two matches.
Games, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Right.
I presume that's the Norwich one and that one.
Didn't Wijnaldum score a lot of goals in both of them?
Yes, I think so.
He's got four in one and two in another,
didn't he? Answer brilliant.
Crazy.
Have we got any thoughts on Alan Pardew's eye?
Yeah, what happened
with that about? Mm. He'd been clocked.
It looked like it, didn't it?
Fighting Pardew. What are you going to do, eh?
You ain't got to tell him. He's already been told once by the look of it.
I'd like to bring your attention, and this is thanks to Tom Robinson on Twitter too. I'm not sure how to pronounce the first name.
The singer of 246 Motorway. 2010
Tom Robinson Band.
Tom Robinson Band.
Sadly, I don't think it's him.
No, okay.
But if it is, thank you, and I love your music.
Yeah.
Lamine Kone, or Lamine Kone?
Yeah.
Kone, of Sunderland. His Twitter account's quite lively, because he tweeted me saying, if you like Koeman's account, have a look at Kone's account.
Yeah.
And after Sunderland ensured their survival, he tweeted, I told you to believe in us. Who will play in the Premier League next season? Us. Hashtag Team Kone. No, Team Sunderland.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Every tweet ends with hashtag Team Kone, so this is quite good. And now I think this relates to Kone's goal against, well, his goal that wasn't given. It was put down as an own goal against Manchester United in the Premier League. And he tweeted a link to his goal against Everton, of course, in the latter stages of the league, saying, hey, Premier League, this time the goal is mine. Hashtag Team Kone.
He's cute.
Squad goals.
Yeah.
Kone goals.
Correct. And then he followed that up when he scored another, saying, oh, wait, Premier League, it will be two for me, please. One for you and one for the fans. Hashtag Team Kone. And then he also tweeted after the Chelsea win, Wabi's volley was outstanding. I was at first stand to enjoy it. So maybe he was on first hand to enjoy it. Hashtag Wabi Sniper. Hashtag Team Kone. Yeah. Nothing to do with you, that goal, mate.
I wonder if he's got a little team behind him. That's why.
Maybe.
Glenn Hoddle signs off all his tweets with a little sunglasses emoji, doesn't he? Yeah. Every single one.
Oh, that's quite nice.
David Gold always just puts DG. Thanks, DG.
Yeah, but even though we know it's from you because it's come from your account.
It's brilliant.
But it is a tradition. Well, a kind of traditional sign-off. It's not warranted, of course. But hashtag Team Kone when he's celebrating other people's goals in the team he plays for.
maybe there's a team running a social media account and that's what they call themselves.
True enough. The England squad has been announced, as you all bloody well know.
An intriguing
seven defenders, three centre-backs and four full-backs, although you would imagine Eric Dier will go in there if needs be. So he's gone for 11 midfielders. Well, this is a provisional squad, of course, 26 names on there. 11 midfielders. We suspect two will be taken out of there when the final 23 is, and five strikers with Rashford, who he'll be the man who won't go unless there's an injury or something.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
Hodgson's pretty much said that. Hasn't
it's pretty
well,
much a training,
which I think is a good idea because it's not going to ruin him if he doesn't take him.
Of course, I mean there's been some funny things on social media. I mean, some people are going, "What Rashford? You know, why not Defoe or something?" And you think, stop it. If three of those strikers, suddenly had terrible injuries. Yeah, okay, you might start looking around a little bit like that. But Rashford's clearly there to dangle the international carrot, if you will, and give him a bit of training. But
if they bring Defoe in, if you can't score a goal with Vardy and Kane, who have been on fire, who know what the goal is, Defoe's not going to do anything.
You've also got to look to the future as well. It would go against everything Hodgson's done over the last year or two.
Yeah. I think the strikers speak for themselves. I think obviously you've got the goalkeepers there. Butland would be in there, but of course.
Let me just add something about Rashford, though. The only thing I can say in the opposition to what you guys have just said is that the problem that Hodgson may well have now, though, is if he does give Rashford some sort of role in the friendlies and he plays really well and scores, he's going to have made a rod for his own back because the media are going to get on his back and he's going to find it very hard to drop him.
There's always something, though, isn't there?
But the rumours are that it is just training for Rashford.
Fine.
So, I mean, if he does play him in the games, then your point is valid. But it's the midfield, really, that you're looking at there.
Yeah.
And I've heard a little thing that Drinkwater is pretty much in there to see how well Wilshere does with his fitness.
Which I think is ridiculous. I've got no problem with Wilshere as a fully fit midfield player. Mm. But one, he can't play, I don't think his best role is in front screen in the back four. Mm-hmm. And England's best forward players suit a 4-2-3-1, right?
Yeah.
Wilshere alongside who? It's going to be Dier, isn't it, if you're going to play two at the hole at the base. And that's not enough protection for Smalling and Cahill, who's had a fairly poor season. Mm. So, and the other thing about it is, Drinkwater has anchored, or at least helped to anchor, a midfield that's won the Premier League by a distance this season. And Wilshere has played 100-odd minutes of football.
That's only what I've heard, so that may be wrong.
Also, I mean, Jack Wilshere made his first start of the season in the last game. And he's coming off the back of a season last year, which was really similar. He missed most of that campaign as well. It's been a good 2 years where he's barely played, and he did a lot in terms of the qualifying campaign when he did play. Played well for England, but I just still don't think.
But that rumor may be doing Drinkwater a disservice, and it probably is from what you've just said there. But also from Hodgson's point of view, you've got to look at the bigger picture there. Henderson's struggling with injury. Obviously, you've got Wilshere. Delph has not played that much football, so. To pick an extra one or two, and I think the reason why Townsend got in is because of Sterling. There's been question marks over his fitness as well. People have been outraged at Townsend. Suddenly, Theo Walcott's a world beater. You know, I mean, it was, if you're going to choose one or the other,
a corner flag beater.
I mean, I think Walcott's a decent player. Yeah. Whoever you choose, then fine. But Townsend, the reason why Townsend, people say, oh, because he played well for Hodgson in the past. Well, look how well England did the past. Well, that means something.
Yeah.
He has performed for
Hodgson. Hodgson is quite loyal to players. I think if all things being equal here, I would imagine they'll lose Rashford, Delph and Townsend, which to me seems about right. I'm not saying Wilshere doesn't deserve to be in the squad, because clearly at his top level he's fantastic and he can play an important role for England. It's hard to make a case for Delph being in there. Yeah. It's hard to make a case for Townsend being in there. And as you rightly say, Marcus, the reason Townsend's been selected is because Welbeck has been injured. Mm. And he's decided to go for him ahead of Walcott.
And of course, Welbeck's not there as well.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
He's also got that pace that Walcott doesn't have. And I know they're different in different positions. Yeah. But
and also, Townsend if he went to the tournament, he won't start.
No.
He will never start. He is a roll of the dice for the last 15, because he can be quite dynamic. As we see, he's very direct. He can pull something out of the bag every now and then. He's a world-class player, but there's very few. I think, was it Alan Shearer who maybe made the point that perhaps Joe Hart is only a world-class player in that whole squad?
Mm.
And sadly, you look at that and go, that might be a good point.
Interesting point about where Wayne Rooney's going to play. It's always been, been playing very well for United in midfield. And I saw a stat on his goal scoring this season. He's got a goal every 334.1 minutes, which is exactly the same as Rudy Gusted.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's obviously not in the team to score goals now. Hodgson's
which, Gusted should
have
got an England call.
Absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, the best use of his current attributes is in the midfield. Mm-hmm. So do you think he'll make that decision?
I think whatever Hodgson does with Rooney, whether he starts him up front, starts him midfield, brings him off of the bench, or doesn't play him at all, he will get panned.
He knows that. For me,
he can't win because he's the England manager.
For me, the best.
He won't win because he's the England manager.
For me, the best combination is in the players they've got is the 4-2-3-1. I know Hodgson sometimes likes the 4-3-3. The 4-2-3-1 with I would have Dyer and Drinkwater, and I would have Ali behind Kane with Vardy and Lallana, or if not, if you can get Sterling in some sort of form, Sterling out there. There's no place for Rooney in there for me. And the fact that Rooney's performed fairly well in midfield over these last recent weeks, it's good for him and it's good for United. I mean, sure, everyone's very happy about that, but it's not really that relevant for England, I don't think, because England have plenty of specialist midfield players.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Hodgson likes to try things and test things. I think in the day-to-day reality of being an England manager, the likelihood of making some huge curveball decision that you've never tested before now, it's really unlikely. Like a lot of West Ham fans are angry that Mark Noble's not in there, Mikel Antonio as well, and I think understandably over the course of a season them not being at least given a chance to show what they can do in a squad is very frustrating, but at this point it's just not going to happen.
Antonio's done well, don't get me wrong, he's a really good player, but it would be ridiculous for him to get in the squad now because Townsend's played with Hodgson, he knows him.
This is exactly what I mean. Yeah. You've got to be realistic about the players that are going to be called up.
It's not like he's put in Peter Crouch instead of Sturridge.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's not like, oh my God, how can he put in Townsend instead of Antonio?
For Carroll as well. Anyone playing well who's English at this point gets this.
That's right.
One thing's for sure is that the friendlies that we have coming up are going to be very important when compared to the qualifying games. The qualifying games are sort of irrelevant now because they're a while ago. It depends on they're playing largely irrelevant teams for a lot of it, and it depends on the personnel that are available at that time. The friendlies is where the teams who are qualified start to really run what they're going to do and work out how they're going to approach the first few games. And that'll be fascinating to see what happens.
And there will be a letdown. A little tiny bit more English football before we go abroad after this. Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The screen's company, but four's a ramble. The only
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Included playoff semi-final in the Football League was the one between Plymouth and Portsmouth.
Oh, God.
Conveniently or inconveniently?
I think I blotted that out of my mind.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
I was in the running order.
Yeah, Plymouth won Pompey nil 3-2 on aggregate. No Wembley trip for Luke Moore.
Not deserved. They didn't deserve it. Portsmouth didn't deserve it. The first game really annoyed me because, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Jamil Matt, the Plymouth forward, headbutted a Portsmouth player, and the referee saw it but didn't deem it a red card. And then there was no further action taken ahead of the second leg. But the problem was, in the first leg, he then scored two goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, he probably shouldn't have been on the pitch. But the thing that really annoyed me is the Portsmouth manager, Paul Cook, rather than saying, look, that's gone now, you can't do anything about that, settle back down, win the game. Yeah. He got so angry, got himself sent off.
Yeah, that's
And that's no sort of message to send to your team. And then the second leg, when Portsmouth were largely terrible, and I know they've had injury problems, I know they were dropping like flies throughout the second leg as well. It's been a long season. We've relied a lot on loan players and blah, blah, blah. But Cook was just stick-clanging at every decision. And he just wasn't managing the team. He was haranguing the fourth official the whole game.
Managing the ref.
And fair enough, the goal was a sickener because it was the very last kick of the game. But, you know, Portsmouth didn't deserve
it. It's a shame because I really thought they were going to win the playoffs and just edge that a little bit closer to the Moore Donaldson derby.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Did you see the photographer getting squashed in the celebration of the Plymouth goal?
A very rowdy celebration. Yeah. The Portsmouth had a keeper in those two legs. He'd only been at the club for a week.
Mm. But the good news is, though, you can look forward to playing Grimsby Town next season because they're back in the Football League. They won the National League playoff final against Forest Green 3-1. You have the Grims back in after a 6-year absence from the Football League. Big John Parkin came on for Forest Green. Made a difference. Missed a good chance.
Forest Green are that environmentally friendly club, aren't they? They have like solar panels, like lawn mowers, and like organic lawns.
They only have vegan food on their menu.
That's right.
What? Parkin?
No, for the fans. I'm sure John Parkin can eat whatever animal he likes, as long as he kills it himself.
And he does like.
I think the FA Vars is on Sunday. Hereford United have been granted permission by the FA to parade their mascot, a prize bull called Hawksbury Ronaldo, in front of their fans at Wembley. If Parkin's still sticking around Wembley.
He's got two names.
Hawksbury Ronaldo.
Wonderful.
It's a good name. Like when horses get given weird names, right? Yeah. Horse racing, same thing.
I guess so.
Possibly, look forward to that. Let's go abroad. La Liga, Barcelona, they won it, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Easy peasy. There was a nice title race going on in Spain, of course, and then when it came to the crunch, Luis Suarez scored a hat-trick. Mm. He will do that. Reached 40 league goals. He's currently on 59 in all competitions.
59.
Barcelona, of course, they've got the final of the Copa del Rey, so he could get 60.
He's outscored Messi and Ronaldo, that's all you need to say.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Is that one league title in 8 years for Real Madrid? I think it might be right.
Is that right, Jim? Well, they beat Deportivo on the last day. Zidane said Barcelona deserved to win La Liga. Possibly the only man in Madrid that could get away with saying that. But he did say, but you've got to take your hat off to what we've done.
He's right, second.
Yeah, the Champions League final, to be fair.
They pushed the Chip Cup.
Yeah, they put it... They went to the last day, and obviously they're in the final of the Champions League. Barcelona scored 112 goals this season, but Madrid 110. Decent. Hey, Ronaldo reached 51 goals this season with the Champions League final still to come, obviously. It's the sixth season in a row he's scored 50 or more goals in a season in all competitions.
Is this going to stop soon?
We've been doing this show for ages
and it's been like this. Ridiculous.
We and many others were saying a number of months ago, oh, he's showing signs of slowing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, he's 31 now.
Yeah, well, and that would suggest.
And it's not like he keeps himself in good shape or anything, so.
His age stats are getting higher.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the only difference.
I love him and Parkin. He breaks his own age record every year.
I'd like him and Parkin to swap bodies just for a day.
Yeah. He wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Talking of goals, eh? Serie A. Gonzalo Higuain breaks the Serie A scoring record. Mm.
Did you see his hat-trick goal, which broke the record?
Beauty.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. It was a chested volley on the turn, high into the net, from a packed D. Ridiculous.
Yeah. he also took the record for one of Pete's famous two Gunnars.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah. The previous record was held by Gunnar Nudal when he bagged 35 for Milan, in 1949-50 season. Incredible, isn't it? That the record of all time in Serie A, wonderful stuff. Mm. It's only 36. I mean, I suppose that's a league that does like to defend.
Mm.
Very difficult.
Well, it's funny because it had the reputation like for that for years, and it sort of shed that a little bit.
Well, yeah.
But it still stands up to scrutiny, clearly. Mm.
Well, it's not far off a goal a game, is it?
No,
so it's
not.
It's pretty amazing. Not many people outscore that in any league,
yeah.
Apart from the freaks in Spain.
True enough.
Sassuolo did pretty well, didn't they?
Well, if Juventus beat Milan in the Coppa Italia, then Sassuolo in sixth will qualify for the Europa League. A remarkable season.
I love
they've got
this.
Cannavaro's brother.
I love their
have
being.
They? Yeah.
Oh, so really? Do.
The younger Cannavaro.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
By some 8 years.
Mm. Harsh name. I love that there's a team in Italy who wear black and green stripes. They're like the Green Power Ranger.
It's
like this new thing that's come in with the traditional old striped
team. It's the only team I can think of that wear that.
Mm. Yeah, that is quite odd.
But Inter are fourth this season. They're 13 points behind Roma in third, which is amazing. And Milan are seventh, 10 behind Inter. It's crazy.
Mm. The former Inter manager, Napoli manager, Walter Mazzarri, has been lining up for
Watford, isn't he?
For Watford, yeah. Because it was a shame.
That's something we haven't touched on.
Well, Kike Sanchez Flores, I think some Watford fans. Talking to one or two, it seems that it's a reasonably good deal all round because Flores, they've been in decline, Watford. We know they like to cycle through the managers. Actually, you know, in hindsight, is it best for Flores to leave, having kept them comfortably in the division, given them a semi-final Wembley trip, and he goes off and the fans go, oh, that's a shame, and off he goes, rather than next season, which they obviously think may happen. He loses seven or eight.
He also wants to stay in England. He said he loves managing.
And he'll get a decent job.
Yeah, he'll get a decent job off the back.
I think Everton will go bigger than him. I do, but I think he'll stay in England. I do. Yeah, I think he will.
Who do you think Everton again?
Benitez or Rodgers?
I think with
ex-Liverpool men.
I've got a feeling, and I've got no real insight into this market, but I've got a feeling that they might go after Pellegrini. I think
that'd be nice.
Mm.
Mm. In Ligue 1, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he got a couple of goals in his last match for PSG. One of them was a chest.
He stopped the game. He stopped the game and subbed himself off, didn't he?
Did he?
I think I'm right in saying he stopped the game after 10 minutes and everyone gave him a standing ovation.
That, I think that was planned.
Yeah, it was. But at the end of the game, I think, from what I could see, and the commentary wasn't English, so I can't make out exactly what was happening, he just walked off the pitch and no one came on for him.
He does what he likes.
And everyone's
but this thing
should
come from par.
he came as a king and left as a legend.
Yeah,
well,
apparently so.
He's got 38 goals, which is the most in the PSG season.
Actually, something that's lost in the whole Zlatan chat is that he is an amazing athlete.
Though
he's getting older,
in great shape. You said about Ronaldo.
I think people would be foolish to think that he couldn't do it in another top league at his age.
Well, that's why I said, you know, when there was rumours about him being linked with Arsenal and wanting to go to the Premier League, Arsenal, go and get him.
Yeah.
He's so stretchy.
He is all very stretchy.
His karate goals are brilliant. He had a guard of honour, didn't he? Never seen that for a player before.
Yeah, he's also very recently been linked with Manchester United as well.
Mm. Go and get him.
And I think that suits, depending on which manager they get, that suits.
It would suit me if Mourinho's in there. It would suit him.
Speaking of blokes out on their ear, pretty much like past their prime. John Terry, did I see him with a microphone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? I thought he'd be given another deal.
Club captain, bruv. Just addressing the fans end of the season. Yeah.
He said the club now want to stay. The fans now want to stay. Addressing the fans. So you lot.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's the reason.
Excuse me. Did you see Zlatan's record-breaking goal? Speaking of Higuain's, because he
header,
a header in which he cushioned the ball off a defender's head.
Nice.
This is a lovely little
38 goals in the season. The record for PSG. The previous record holder was Carlos Bianchi, the greatest lookalike in the history of football. Larry David,
the Boca Juniors.
Incredible.
Yeah, you've got to look that up. Right, let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Yeah, all right, I've already done one of them. Did one of them earlier, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Do I need to do mine?
For Pete, you got to do yours as well. we all know what it is, but we'd like to get it down there just for the record. What have we got here? Oh, yeah, a couple of Grimsby Town related ones. You touched on it earlier, Marcus, but Matthew Johnson said Grimsby Town winning promotion back to the Football League. It was our fourth attempt in the playoffs. And after losing the playoff final on penalties last year, we finally got back up. Fantastic support at Wembley as usual. #UpTheMariners. Nicholas Holmes also chimed in by saying, Grimsby Town's return to the Football League. We took over 15,000 to Wembley. It's a great advert for non-league football. Hashtag fish. Gone for a different hashtag.
No longer non-league.
Team fish.
Jim, I've got a little bit of a dig at you here. Can you take it?
Yep.
You're in a great mood because of the Arsenal thing, so I thought it might be wouldn't mind. Dan Shoesmith, friend of the Ramble, long-time listener. He says, listening to an old Ramble, Midnight Vultures, hearing Jim respond to the news that Claudio Ranieri has been appointed manager of Inter. By saying he's not exactly a winner, is he? Well, he wasn't Inter, to be fair.
Well, no. I don't think I've been alone in that.
No, absolutely not. No.
Do the next ramble in your pants.
Yeah, but Dan also goes on to say that I'd now like to think that Claudio is sitting in an easy chair in an Italian villa somewhere, glass of wine on the go, and his grandson chasing some birds around the garden, chuckling to himself about how massively he's mugged off that Campbell bloke. I think that's exactly what he's thinking. Yeah. Rob Derbyshire, my highlight of the week was getting up at 6 a.m. on my holiday in Vancouver to watch the 7 a.m. kick off of the Spurs match with the Vancouver Spurs Supporters Club. Oof. He finishes that one just by saying, lol. I think he's got a bit of gallows humour.
Wasn't even a Spurs fan. And I'll
finish with this one from Stuart Nicole, who says, the highlight has to be the most important match of the weekend, the match between old enemies Jersey and Guernsey in the 100th Moratti Vars game. Brian Little, yes, that one, his Jersey team retained the trophy once more with a 1-0 victory over their inferior neighbours. One player sent off either side, and police reporting of fans being ejected shows the passion in the rivalry.
Wow. Jersey are trying to join FIFA.
Are they really?
They are, yes.
Because they're not a part of United Kingdom, neither are Guernsey.
To top it all off, Jersey won 9-0, a record score in the Women's Trophy the next day, leaving Matt Letizia and his brethren broken-hearted. There you go.
My goodness, yeah. I mean, I should say as well, because I was quite smug about this, weeks and months gone by about Spurs finishing the top two. I was wrong.
You were.
Yeah, you were wrong.
No, it's not easy. I kept pretty quiet. I knew what was coming. I didn't want to say anything.
That's right.
Yours, it was a very early shout, as I recall.
Reasonably early.
Yeah.
You weren't far off, though.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was ultimately wrong, Jim, much to your glee.
Thanks to my football team.
It's a very rambly end of the season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Again, it just convinces me
this is all a dream of Ranieri's.
Jim, website roundup.
Website roundup. Highlights arrived, like players in a crowded penalty area this week, thick and fast. Imagine what horrors you'd have been exposed to if Kelly wasn't here to curate them for you. You might have missed Germany's plan to dominate global football via satire and self-awareness. Hmm. Not one, but two punts for literally the most hideous shirt in history. Michael Duff deflecting Joey Barton's medal embarrassment via the medium of dance. That was really funny. While a bath in Dresden reflects a woeful lack of physics education among German sportsmen. Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. She's scared. Pete's going.
I also should say that a lot of people got in touch with me on Twitter this week after Friday morning when I said I'd be stunned beyond belief if Newcastle were to beat Spurs at the weekend. Yeah. I appreciate a lot of people getting in touch. I mean, I was stunned beyond belief, and I still am. I don't know what your point is.
The stunning still happened.
Well, do remember the Football Ramble preview show, of course, coming out this Friday, sponsored by Bet365. Be stunned a little more.
Yeah, I think that if someone knows planes, can somebody find out whether you can fly a plane with a banner on it over London? Because I was thinking, has it happened in London?
As far as I know, the aviation laws are that you can't fly over London with a single engine aircraft.
That's a helicopter, though. That's why they fly down the Thames. But I'm just wondering, because Sunderland flew their little crappy plane over Newcastle saying,
muggy little plane.
See you later.
Was it a muggy little plane?
Was it a muggy little plane? I'm thinking you probably couldn't do that in London.
Well, you can't. I'm telling you can't.
It's two engines, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you'd have to get a two-engine plane, is the answer.
Yeah.
And clearance from the relative authorities.
Presumably, Pete, you know the answer.
Yeah. No, I don't. No, I know the single-engine thing. I mean,
Peter. I still have a patent application.
I was about to say, Peter, on behalf of the listeners, find out.
I'm asking the listeners. There's some clever listeners out there.
Yeah, there might be.
On behalf of the patent office, get in touch.
Fill our coffers.
Don't forget as well, we are animated on 442s.
You are.
Yeah, normally you do that.
YouTube.com/footballramble. There's loads of stuff up there.
Absolutely.
And Dean from 442 is having a lovely time. He did a beautiful one, non-ramble related of Newcastle's demise, which is, it had so much work gone into it. I actually emailed him saying, you've been planning this for a while, haven't you, Dean? He said, might have been.
He said, up yours, Donaldson. Yeah. I'll do what I want. If you want to get in touch, of course, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. And we're on Twitter, @footballramble, Facebook, Instagram. Mm. You know the coup, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later, everyone.
All for one.
Hi, Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.